First Thessalonians chapter 5, preaching with a thought on getting used to the dark. Now, let me say this, that the darker it gets, and I'm going to repeat myself from some last week to start with, that the darker it gets, the brighter we should shine. And the more that our light should be visible, but it seems like that it is not as the church as a whole. And you know, if you turn the light on, if you go over and look in John chapter 3, let me go over there. You can stay where you are. But John chapter 3 talks about having the light turned on and that to men sin. And the Bible said right here, as it talks about believing in the Lord, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, you tell people that they're sinners and you can shine the light on their sin and show them the gospel and tell them what needs to happen. And some people will get mad about that. You need to realize that today. Not everybody wants to hear about what Jesus has done and how good Jesus is. A lot of people think that he's a good God, and they'll think that he is a good God in the very fact that he ain't going to judge them for their sin. Let me put it to you like this, friend. The Bible said that they're condemned already. Man was already in condemnation. Jesus didn't come to condemn men. Why? Because they were condemned already. And that's what men and women don't get today. They're already in condemnation. I'm not condemning them. Jesus didn't come to condemn them. They were condemned already because they were sinners. And listen, he came and that to save sinners. Amen. And you know, these people on, and I seen a fella in the picture the other day. He was wearing a shirt that said, "Only God could judge me." And the thing about it is God already has judged him. And that's what folk don't understand today. They're in condemnation. And so when the light gets turned on to the very fact when Christ came and he was that light and is that light. And the Bible went on to say, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." And I made that statement last week. You don't find a criminal looking for a police officer. They're not looking for one because they don't want to get caught. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You turn the light on, and I'm going to tell you, some people are glad to have the light turn on. And I preached on that last week, and we'll look at that here in just a minute. I was glad that the light come on one day, that he shined into my heart and showed me that I was lost and needed to get saved. But not everybody wants to see that today. But I'm going to ask you to stand today while we read the text scripture today. First Thessalonians chapter 5, but we're preaching on getting used to the dark. And so in First Thessalonians chapter 5, let's begin to read in verse 1. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us now. Touch the one that needs help. I pray that if there's one lost, save them. But Lord, I pray that you'd anoint us afresh. And Lord, just give us something from heaven today. Touch us from heaven. And Lord, we thank you for all your wonderful mercy. And I'm glad you delight in mercy and not in judgment and not in condemnation. But Lord, you want to save men and women, boys and girls, so that you might make them free. Thank you for the good choir singing this morning. I pray that blessed your holy name, and we thank you for it today. Save somebody that's lost for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We looked last week as he talked about the times and the seasons. And we know that we should be able to discern what's going on about us. I mean, what did he say right here? He said, for yourselves know perfectly. So there's some things that we need to know and should know as God's people. You know, people talk about all the time, well, I only know that I'm saved. You know, after you get saved, you should know that. But after a while, you should grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter said that you what? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby. There's a time that you should have growth in your Christian life. And it'll come, and that from the word of God. And it tells us that the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night, when nobody seems in that to be watching for him and looking for him. Are you looking for the Lord? I'm telling you, I was sitting in my study the other day. I believe it was Friday afternoon. I was in my study, and you know, we live on the main thoroughfare, on the main highway out there. And there was a big truck come down the road. I guess it was a big truck. But he was laying down on that air horn. I don't know what was in the road. I don't know what was going on. But in my mind, I thought, this is it. We're leaving out of here. I really thought that. I thought, man, we're leaving out of here. But I'm still here. Amen. And you are too. But you realize that's how quick that the Lord is going to come and receive the church to himself. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, that's where he's coming to get you. Ain't you looking for that day? I hope you. I'm not kidding, folk. Some of y'all think I'm kidding. I really thought, this is it. We're leaving here. But needless to say, after about 5 or 10 minutes, I was still sitting there. But notice that he said that it'll be over. Some of y'all ain't grinning today. Are you okay today? It's all right. It's going to get better. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know what you're going through, but I'll guarantee you it'll get better, friend. Amen. Amen. We're preserved, not pickled today. Thank God for that. But notice what he said right here. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And he lays out the signs and the time, the seasons, and the sign. He said they're going to say peace and safety, but sudden destruction will come. But he tells us that those days will not come. Listen right here. He sort of said it shouldn't come upon us, that we should that be overtaken by that. Why? Because we're children of the light. I looked last week about how that we were enlightened and that by God's word. God had to turn the light on in your heart and show you that you were lost. Now listen, I don't believe in Calvinism and the very fact that man is so depraved that he can't see the state that he's in, and so therefore God must force his grace upon you. I do believe you can see the state that you're in, but God has to turn that light on and show you that you were lost. But boy, when you get lost, you can do something about it then. Amen. And he gives you that ability through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we looked about being enlightened by God's word and the light coming on. Let me say this, that there's a lot of folk are looking for light. They're just looking in the wrong place. I'm not standing in a lodge door somewhere knocking and say that I'm seeking light. I'm not doing that. I'm not trying to find light anywhere else. The light, and that is God's word. We looked at that last week about how he said, what was it? He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 6, he said, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. It lightens our heart today. Amen. I thank God for God's word and the light that he turned on. And we've seen that, how that we grow in God's word. But today I want to look at the latter part of this chapter. Now, Lord, you help us today, and you pray for me now, church. But then notice he enlightened us and told us that we were not children of the night nor of darkness, but we're children of light. And so he starts right here in verse 6, and he tells us to enact. We need to act upon what he tells us in verse 6. He said, therefore. So the question is, what is it therefore? Well, we're not children of the night, but we're children of the day. So he says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So number 2 is, we enact God's word, we're not to sleep. It's not a time and that to sleep. You know, when we're asleep, there is inactivity, is there not? I understand the whole restfulness thought and that about sleep, but that's not the comparison he's making. The comparison he's making is between the world is asleep, and part of Christianity seems to be asleep, but we're not to be that way. He said, let us not sleep as others, as do others. Are we just wandering through this world, wondering what's going on? Are we just wandering through the world, living our own life, and not paying attention to what's going on? Notice what he said. He said, let us not sleep as do others. But what are we to do? We're to be watching. You know, in Romans chapter 13, he said, in that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. He said, what do we got over here? He said, what I have no need to write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We know the times and the seasons. He says, you know what time it is. He said in Romans, as I read that verse right there, what did he say? And knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer. How did he word that? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I mean, listen, he's fixing to come and get us. I mean, we're fixing to leave out of here. It's time to be, if we're going to do anything, now's the time to do it. I mean, why do you think he said in the book of Ephesians at one point, redeeming the time because the days are evil? We need to be taking every opportunity, every chance, every time that we have to try to witness and win somebody and add to the Lord. Now listen, I struggle with that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. We get so sidetracked with what's going on in the world. And Brother Jeff, he taught on that this morning in the very first verse. And boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I can tell you one thing. We do know that the Lord's coming. And we need to be making preparation for that. I mean, we need to be about his business. I understand that there's a life to live. I get that. But I'm going to tell you, our life should not be wrapped up in this world. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But it ought to be wrapped up into him. This world is secondary to us. Probably not even should be secondary. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen, but we got to live in it, but we're just not part of it. Amen. I'm a sojourner, and I'm just passing through. But he told us, if you're going to do the word of God, he said, let's not sleep as others, let's do others, but let us watch and be sober. So we're supposed to watch, ain't we? You know, if you're asleep, you can't watch. You know, the watchman, if he is asleep, he ain't watching for what's about to happen, is he? I'm going to tell you, I was telling my wife there as I crawled into bed last night. I'd been in the study late last night, and I made it. This row got prayed for real good, and this one made it pretty good. And some of y'all over here, I don't know. I was asleep somewhere during this time over here. And y'all got prayed, but I ain't sure how well it went through to heaven, you know. And by the time I made it over here, I was asleep. And so I had to pick my head back up off, you know. I sat in my study chair and just sat there. And man, I'll go sleep. And you know what I'm doing? I'm not watching. You know what the Lord told his disciples? He said, could you not watch him pray with me for an hour? He said, could you not watch? I remember my pastor told me one time. I remember he told me one time. He said, for me to stay awake at times, he said, I've got down on my knees and put my Bible on a chair. I'm going to tell you, that don't help me none. To put my Bible on a chair and get on my knees, don't help me, and I'll fall asleep. But you know what I've learned? If I stand up, I've stood up many times in my study to finish praying. I have, because I was just dozing off. And if I'd stand up, I mean, if you fall asleep standing up, you're tired. I mean, I'll be honest with you. And I'd stand up and I'd pray. And listen, I think that's important today. I think your prayer life ought to be important to you. I really do, and you know, I've told you this so much that I want you to know that I feel some responsibility to pray for y'all. I do. I feel a heaviness and a burden. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just telling you how I feel about things. That I have a responsibility to you and your family to pray for you. I feel that way. I think if I didn't feel that way, there'd be something wrong with me. But a guard must be watching. He cannot do that if he's asleep. We can't be watching if we're sleeping. He ain't talking about with your eyes closed asleep. He's talking about if we're pulled off with so many other things, if we're asleep to spiritual matters and spiritual things. Take your Bible this morning, go to Mark chapter 13. Go to Mark chapter 13. If we're so inundated with worldly things, Mark chapter 13, look in verse 34. He's talking about the day of the Lord right here. Because in verse 33 he says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." And I understand the doctrinal issues about all this and the Lord's second coming, not necessarily the rapture of the church, but his second coming here. But in verse 34 of Mark chapter 13, he said, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority." Now pay attention to what happens. "Gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." So he gave authority to his servants, commanded men to work, and told the porter to watch. Now look in the next verse. Then he said in verse 35, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at cock crowing or in the morning." Now that struck me strange. Why did he start with even time? The evening time. You know, we say morning, noon, and night, don't we? Because our day starts in the morning time. You realize that their day started in the evening. As the sun set, then their day was changing. Like when the sun sets this evening, it would go from Sunday to Monday. But our day don't work that way. We morning, noon, and evening. When midnight rolls around, we change the time. But what he said, "Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, for the master of the house cometh at evening or at midnight or at cock crowing or in the morning." He starts with a new day right there. But he says, look, it may not be at the start of the new day. He said it may be at midnight, or it may be because you don't know when he's coming. So he says in verse 36, "Lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Can't be watching if we're asleep. He gave authority to his servants. He gave to every man his work. And then he told the porter to watch. And then he told all of us in this verse, you need to watch. You need to be paying attention to what's going on. You need to pay attention, first of all, for the second coming. You need to be paying attention for when the church, is about to leave here. See the times and the seasons of what's going on, because we're running out of time and we need to do something about it. I think that's what he's telling us. I think we're running out of time. I think you say, well, every generation thought they were running out of time. I agree to that. But see, he said you didn't know when the master was coming. Whether at evening, at midnight. You didn't know when he was coming. So you know what you got to do? You got to be watching. You got to be doing your work. You got to be faithful in your work. Luke chapter 19 put it this way. He said, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." Do what you're supposed to do till the master comes. How many of us are doing that? Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, that's a good question, ain't it? What am I supposed to do? We need to be watching. We need to be watching how we live. We need to be paying attention to how our life is lived for Christ. I mean, you can go on down through here, because he said, "Let us not sleep, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they be drunken, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." So I learned right here that if we're going to have to watch how we live, he tells us to be sober, not to be drunk. Do you think he's telling everybody now, don't be drinking and get drunk? I think you can look at that, yeah. I think all through the Bible, wine is malt, and strong drink is, it's deceiving. It's a malker. It's deceiving. Yeah, I think that's right. I have to go back and look at it. Let me go back there and look at that. That's going to bother me if I don't go back there. We're in the book of Proverbs, I think. Let me go find it. But drunkenness goes even further than just taking a strong drink, you see. I thought I know where that was. But drunkenness not only and that has to do with drinking, but a lot of people they get drunk. Let me see how I put this. Drunkenness, and that keeps you from being able to see and do what is right. You can't walk a straight line. You can't think a straight thought. It changes who you are. You ever seen a mean drunk? Other than if they're sober, everything's good. But you let them get drunk, and some of them are just as mean as the devil. Some of them, when they get drunk, they're just as happy as happy can be. And I thought that's in the book of Proverbs. Oh, here we go. Man, I just didn't go back far enough where I wanted to be at. You know, it said, who hath woe? Proverbs chapter 23. Who hath woe? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. He's talking about those that get drunk and partake of this. I mean, it just messes everything up. But there's a lot of people that are drunk on the thoughts and the things of the world. And when he tells us to be sober, he says you need to be aware of what's going on around you. You need to be paying attention. We come back to that watchfulness again. And he says those that are drunk are drunk in the night. If you're going to sleep, you sleep. If I'm going to sleep, I'm going to sleep in the night. He said in Luke 21, he said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Brother Ralph, he preached on that during revival. That's surfeiting. That is the act of eating to excess or gluttony. And then he said drunkenness. What he's talking about? Eating and drinking. Well, there's a lot of people just eating and drinking up the world. And I'm talking about saved people tonight or today. They're just more concerned about what's going on out there. And I know I've been on that, man, it seems like, for 3 or 4 months, just talking about the world and our life. But I'm telling you, and I'm trying to get myself to realize this more and more, that we literally are just running out of time. We ought to be paying attention to what's going on around us. So, if we're to be watching, what are we to be doing? He told us to put on the... not only to be sober, if we're of the day, he said, be sober. We're of the day, by the way. Has the light been turned on in your heart? I mean, has it been turned on and you've trusted that light, the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I am the light of the world. He told us to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. I'm going to deal with some of this tonight, but you realize that right here, but the breastplate and the helmet is used for battle. Do you realize there's battles that we have to go through and deal with? I mean, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil's roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You understand that? So he tells us to put on the breastplate of faith and of love. What are we doing? I'm talking about enacting the word of God. In these last days, what are we to do? We're to be sober, be paying attention to what's going on around us. Realize the time that we're living in, we can't change the time. We can't. I think a lot of people want to do that. They don't want to admit that we're living in the time that we're living. You know, you can't change the time that you're living in. But you can sure do something about how you live in this time. You say, preacher, people's going to think we're strange and that we're crazy. And I won't argue that. Yeah, I've told you before, you live by this book, it'll make you strange. This book will change who you are. This book will change how the world perceives us and how it perceives you. And as long as you're pleasing the Lord, that's all that matters. It's going to make you weird. It's going to make me weird. You run your home on this. Let me stop right here. You know what people hate more than anything? Or one of the things people hate more than anything, they hate having a final authority. They hate a final authority. That ought to be your final authority. I try my very best, my dead level best, to make this my final authority by how I live my life, by how my home is run, by how this church is pastored. This is it. And people do not like this. They do not like this. That's very evident in the way that our world reacts to law. They don't like law until it benefits them. I'm okay with this book as long as it benefits me or I'm doing what it says. But boy, when I get outside of what this book says, I don't know about that. That's what my mind says. I don't know about that. But then you got to make yourself line up with this book. And let me say this for just a second. Sometimes we want to pray to heaven and say, God, help me. And that's great. And you should. And I should. But sometimes it takes work on our part to line up with this book. I'm just saying, sometimes it's just not easy sometimes. But we got to do it. But when you've got a final authority, people think you're crazy. Let me say this. I'm going to move on off this thought. That's what some people don't get in homes, that mom and dads are that final authority for their children. And they don't understand that today. They let their children live and do however they want to from the time they're born to whenever. And I'm going to tell you, a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. You can't leave them alone. You've got to train them and raise them up. Anyway, let me move on. Notice what he said right here. He said that you put on the breastplate. And was that all right? Okay, all right, just making sure. He said you put on the breastplate and the helmet. Those are used for fighting. And so we've got to fight. We've got a battle. But he said, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Two things he told us right here. Put on the breastplate. That protects our heart, don't it? You've got to protect your heart. And it is the breastplate of faith and that of love. You've got to have your faith placed in the Lord. You've got to have faith in Him and faith in His Word. Trusting Him for everything that we do for Him. We've got to trust Him. We've got to have faith in Him. We can't lose our faith. Must not lose our faith. Because I'm going to tell you, if you know, what did he say in the book of Ephesians? Taking the shield of faith that we may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Without the shield of faith, the breastplate of faith, friend, we cannot quench the fiery darts of the wicked. If you ain't got no faith, man, you're living defeated if you ain't got no faith. Amen? You're living defeated. Now, if you don't draw the sword and fight, then he's going to beat on you a whole lot, but you've got to learn how to fight back. He said, you put on the breastplate of faith and that one of love. The love for Him and the love for His Word and the love for one another. Love for lost souls. Let that be in your heart. That's what protects your heart. That's what keeps your heart. That's what's there for your heart. You see, it's faith in Him, the love for Him, the love for His Word, and love for sinners, and love one for another. It'll protect you and help you. He talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. Notice the two things we're protecting right here, your heart and your head. He don't say nothing else. I mean, he don't get, you know, the whole armor of God is over in Ephesians. But here, he's just telling us to protect our heart and our head. You know, when Brother Ralph was here preaching the revival, what did he say that he believed? And I agree with him. The devil's after what? Our mind, ain't he? Our mind. Now he said, do what? He said, put on. He said, put on for a helmet the hope of salvation. Ain't you glad you got a hope in salvation? Should that not steady your mind and comfort your mind that there's a hope? We've got hope. If you ain't got hope, you need to get saved. You know, when all the worry, see, we worry in our mind. We have anxiety in our mind. We have care in our mind. But the hope of salvation. You know why those martyrs could go to the stake and clutch it when they got there? They didn't even have to tie them down. They would have stayed there. You know why they could go to the stake and be burned at the stake? And by the way, that's a Roman Catholic church that done that to Christians. Go study your history. You know why they could stand there? You know why they could sing on the way to the stake? You know why they could sing while they were being burned? Because they had a hope of salvation. How many of us would do that? I mean, we've got a better life. Man, I mean, hope of salvation.
Listen, the hope of salvation is the very fact that we are His and He is mine. The hope of salvation is that there is a better place than this right here. The hope of salvation is that there's peace and joy in the Lord. I understand anxiety. I understand worry. I understand the depression and despondency. I understand that stuff. But I know that I have hope in salvation. And that ought to bring peace to our mind, no matter what we're facing, no matter what's going on. Job said this, and I preached on this last Sunday night. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job said, I've got on that breastplate of faith and of love and the helmet of salvation. He had hope. He said, God's going to kill me, but I'm going to trust him in the process of it. That's pretty big, ain't it? I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, I don't know, man. It seems to me if I'd have been in Job's place, sometimes I think I'd fall apart. But the strength of the Lord is greater than what we could ever make. You know, there is a peace that passeth all understanding. And that peace that comes to our heart and to our mind. Can I ask you this? There are times that we think that we should, that we say, boy, if this happens, I'm just going to fall apart right here. But boy, when it does happen, there is a peace that passeth all understanding that you wonder, why am I not falling apart right here? But the grace of God is real, and it comes and hugs up on you and loves on you and gets you through that hard time. That peace that passeth all understanding, that God can just settle your mind and settle your heart and take care of that. But he told us in these last days, as we live in the light and are the light, we've got a hope of salvation. He said in Ephesians 6, when he's talking about the whole armor of God, he said, and take the helmet of salvation. Put it on. Put on the helmet of salvation. He said in Romans 13, he said, knowing the time that is now high time to wake out of sleep. For our salvation is now nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. He said, we do the opposite of those things. But he said, put on the armor of light. Look right here. We've been enlightened by God's word. We're to enact God's word. But then last of all, look in the last verses here that I've read for a text. Look in the encouragement we get out of God's word. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great encouragement that we're living in today. God has not appointed us to wrath. We're not going to stand in judgment. You know the world's going to stand in judgment. The world's going to stand in judgment. I'm not going to stand in judgment. I've got an encouragement of that. Why am I not going to stand in judgment? Hey, listen, I know the judgment seat of Christ is there. I understand that. I'm going to go give an answer and that for my stewardship and all that. I understand that. But I'm never going to stand in judgment for my sin. That's been took care of. Man, Calvary took care of that. Me trusting in Christ took care of that night. Listen, I'm not appointed to wrath. And by the way, there is a... How can I put this? There is a contrast of the two. Notice what he said. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's either wrath or salvation. One or the other. That's what you got. Either wrath or salvation. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's one or the other. There's nothing in between. You've either trusted Christ or you've not trusted Christ. You either die and go to heaven or you're dying and go to hell. You'll either suffer in that through tribulation here. If you hear when the church is raptured out, I listen. But what did he say? We're not appointed to wrath. This world is appointed to wrath. That's what's going to happen. But we're not appointed to wrath. I'm no longer dying and going to hell. I got saved from hell, and I will not suffer the wrath of God nor his judgment. What was it he said in Romans 5 and 8? But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified. Being now, N-O-W, justified by his blood. I love that. N-O-W. Being now justified. I got justified when I got saved. He said, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That wrath that's coming, don't have to worry about it. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's been took care of. We got saved from those things. Listen, ain't that an encouragement tonight? Listen, the word, or today, man, I'm stuck on tonight. He said the world is going to suffer those things, but we're not going to. What an encouragement. Because I have believed that he died for me and rose again, and I put my trust in him. He said we are to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're to do. He said, now, and he told who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together. Whether you're dead or alive, you'll be right there with him because he saved you. But notice here, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. You know, these things will give us comfort. These books, this scripture will give us comfort. You know, he talks about the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the very last verse over there, is it verse 18? He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And so the very fact that the Lord was coming again to get us, that was comfort. But you know, the very fact that we are to serve in the daytime and be of the day and put on the breastplate of faith and of love and the helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation, and that we're not appointed to wrath, but that we do have obtained the salvation of the Lord. And he told us whether we wake or sleep, we're with the Lord. We're going to be with the Lord. We'll live together with him. Well, ain't that something? Whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we're going to live together with him. He said, wherefore comfort yourselves together. Ain't that great comfort today? Great comfort. I look at all the mess that's going on in the world. I am glad that the Supreme Court overturned that. A law that should have never been made to start with. I'm glad they done what they done. I really am. That's comforting to know that there's people that still care about what's right. But he said, wherefore comfort yourselves together. You know, the thing about it is whether that got overturned or not, don't change what this scripture says. We're not appointed to wrath. And we've got faith and love. We should have faith and love and a hope of salvation that we've obtained by him. And so there's comfort. He's got us. He's coming to get us. He's going to keep us. And then he said this, edify one another. We are to build each other up. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Man, we ought to be building each other up in these last days, encouraging one another, and that to keep on serving God, encouraging folk to keep on going. Can I tell you, church, that every family and every person in here, you are important to the body of Christ, and you're important to this local assembly. And I don't ever want you to get to thinking that you're not. I want you to just keep on serving Christ and keep on being faithful in these last days. And part of my job, not all of my job, but part of my job is to encourage you, and we're to encourage one another. And I want you to be encouraged in these last days that you belong to him. Let's serve him while we got time and go on. Let's bow our heads this morning.